Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to meet Minnesota's civilian aides to the Secretary of the Army, or CASAs, and salute two long-serving members of the Department of Minnesota American Legion. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General John Jensen.
As the cold of Minnesota's winter sets in, please take the time to prepare yourself and your family for a safe and enjoyable season. First, as you plan your winter travels, know before you go. Check on current weather warnings and always plan for extra time on the roads. Also, be sure to prepare an emergency survival kit for your vehicle. Next, dress for the cold and know the signs of frostbite. On some of our coldest days, cold weather injuries like gray, waxy, numb, frostbite-affected skin, or even hypothermia can set in quickly. Finally, at home, be sure to check your carbon monoxide detectors. Without its warnings, a broken furnace can quietly lead to tragic consequences. Whether you are one of our airmen or soldiers, part of our family, or part of our larger Minnesota community, we wish you and yours a happy and safe winter season.
Thank you, General Jensen. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me in the studio today is my guest co-host, Jason Burley. And Jason is here because two, three, four times next year, he's going to sit in as a guest host so that I can take my wife on vacation. Jason, welcome back to the studio.
Thank you, sir. Happy to be here.
It's great that you and Doug Wertham are going to take and learn how to do some of this next year, and we'll get some transition going. But I'll explain that next week at the end of the show so everybody understands. I'm okay. Don't send me those emails and texts. Everything's fine. Just a little transition going. On today's show, we're going to talk about the civilian aides to the Secretary of the Army, and we have two guests in the studio today, former Secretary of State Mark Ritchie and retired Colonel Eric Aldous. Gentlemen, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks for having us on.
Thank you very much.
And gentlemen, I'm going to ask you to bear with me because on this first segment, we also have a special guest calling in, and he's retired Major General Harry Sieben. He spent a career in the law firm of Sieben Carey. He was also in the state legislature, served as Speaker of the House some while ago. He spent a good career in the Minnesota National Guard and topped that off by being the temporary Adjutant General. And since that time, he spent a dozen years being a civilian aide to the Secretary of the Army. General Sieben, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom Lyons. I appreciate the chance to be on.
General, that's a lot of things to do in a career. You had several careers. Does that seem like that was someone else?
Well, Tom, when you get to be old, you can fit all that in. You'll find that out someday.
I'll try to catch up with you, General. We want to talk today about CASA, the civilian aide to the Secretary of the Army. You performed that duty here in Minnesota for a dozen years. Can you tell us what that was about, sir?
Sure. The CASA program has been around since World War I, give or take. There's three main categories that the civilian aides serve. One is to represent the Secretary of the Army in our communities. In the three of us case in Minnesota, or any place in Minnesota, to get the word, the Army word out. The Army has obviously a lot of changes and changing demands on soldiers, changing instructions from Congress and the President of the United States. And the Army needs the support of the civilian community. And so one main job of those of us in the program is to try to represent the Secretary of the Army in speaking at various civic events in Minnesota or talking to civic leaders just getting the Army story out. A second major category is Army recruiting, active duty Army recruiting, Army Reserve recruiting, and Army National Guard recruiting. And we pay as much attention to that as anything, I think. It's, of course, extremely important. There's huge turnover in the Army, especially active duty Army. We need new recruits every year, tens of thousands of them, to meet the demands our country places on the United States Army. And our responsibilities are to be of assistance to the recruiters. There are active duty recruiters in Minnesota, excellent people, excellent professionals. They recruit for the Army and the Army Reserve. The Minnesota Army National Guard has its own recruiters. They've done a fantastic job over the years, especially the last 15 years. And they have always produced enough soldiers for the National Guard. That has not been true of recruits for active duty and for the Army Reserve. Minnesota has not fulfilled its expectations for recruits for active duty and for the Army Reserve, and that's probably where the most help is needed. The third activity of the Australian Aid Program is to help soldiers, help soldier programs, or help soldiers themselves or families of soldiers, and in some cases they're retired or former soldiers, veterans, and soldiers are like any other segment of society. If you take 15,000 people in Minnesota, you're going to find a certain percentage that have serious problems and maybe not so serious problems that could turn into be something serious if they're not dealt with. And we are called on to help soldiers and families of soldiers with ordinary problems that they have. Sometimes it's not getting proper recognition. For example, if a soldier is wounded in battle and didn't get the award of a Purple Heart, which they should get, sometimes things fall through the cracks, don't get done the way they're supposed to get done, and we can help. Sometimes we can help with those situations. Other situations are soldiers that are wounded and might be in a hospital at Walter Reed or in Texas for a burn unit or any place where the families of soldiers need assistance getting to see their soldier, or have assistance at home with the things that go wrong when the major breadwinner is gone and injured or just gone. But there's no end to the list of potential problems, and Mark Ritchie and Eric Alness and I will see a lot of those situations.
We're
so
speaking with
the three major categories.
Thank you, sir. We're speaking with retired Major General Harry Sieben on Minnesota Military Radio. Sir, I understand the CASAs are personally selected by the Secretary of the Army and serve at his will, and although they're unpaid, they will have the protocol status of a three-star general to demonstrate their importance to the Secretary. They usually serve in two-year terms, and you served six of those, 12 years as CASA, and I understand you're one of very few that was given the emeritus status after your service.
Yes, thank you. Thanks for pointing that out. And I think as an emeritus, I have the same job as the serving CASAs as Mark and Eric do. At least that's what I'm taking on and the way I see it. But I'm going to try to be of assistance to Mark and Eric where I can.
General, we have to take a short break. We're going to come back for another segment and talk to Mark Ritchie and Eric Alness. Can you stay with us?
Of course. Thank you.
All right, this is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking about the Civilian Aid to the Secretary of the Army program, and we have in the studio my co-host, Jason McBurley. We also have former Secretary of State Mark Ritchie and retired Colonel Eric Alness, and on the line with us is CASA Emeritus, retired Major General Harry Sieben. General Sieben, you still with us?
I'm still here. Thank you.
All right, sir. I've got a special question for you at the end, but we want to visit with the Secretary and the Colonel here for a moment. And Secretary Ritchie, I want to come to you. Thanks for joining us again today. I've missed those Memorial Days when you were in the studio with
us. It's so great to be back on again. I look forward to seeing you and your co-host as often as we can.
We got a couple of those, but we'll see how that works. Can you explain to us, how did you arrive at being a CASA, a civilian aide to the Secretary of the Army?
Well, I was invited by the Secretary of Army, who's actually now the Secretary of Defense, Secretary Esper. And, you know, flew out to Washington. We had a long discussion, just kind of talking through what was La Casa role and how did I see myself in that role. I don't know all of the mystery behind the procedure and process, and but I was just honored to be asked, knew that my experience sitting on the senior advisory board for the Minnesota National Guard was an important piece, but also that I had been very active in the community board for our recruiting battalion and the brigade that's local. And so those issues, he actually said that his three priorities were recruitment, recruitment, recruitment. And so he was just underlining that of the three, really, we can be of great assistance right now. And so I was very honored when I swore my oath and we had that ceremony. It was a very meaningful thing, but hitting the ground running, knowing that General Sieben had been this amazing leader in this role, gave me both the kind of confidence that I could call on him and get his assistance, which has been fantastic, but also that Minnesota's high regard and service to the nation, whether it's in the Civil War or the First World War or wherever, that that's a tradition we're going to keep strong. And I'm just proud to be part of helping make that tradition continue to be how Minnesota is viewed in our nation's capital and hopefully around the world.
Mr. Secretary, I think that's the historian coming out in you with some of those comments, because I know you used to teach that. Colonel Ellis, did you have to go through a similar process?
Mine was a bit different. Actually, I've been fortunate to have General Sieben as a mentor over many years. And about 2 years ago, I said, you know, if you ever want to stand down or step down from this CASA position, I'd be honored if you would sponsor me. So fortunately, when he decided to move on to another role, he endorsed me on that. And then, as I understand it, Secretary Ritchie, when you are out in D.C. with Secretary Esper, he asked, what do you think about this Ellis character? And he said, unfortunately, I'd worked with Mark over many years, ever since my agricultural deployment and before, and as doing government relations. So he again gave me the thumbs up as a good person to support this role and serve Minnesota.
So, General Sieben, you served in this role for 12 years. Can you explain to me, why does it take two guys to replace you?
I think the truth, Tom, is that the Army recognizes that Minnesota has not been performing as well as expected in recruiting and wanted to get more emphasis on it. And I think they wanted more manpower, more people power, not only for recruiting, for all aspects, but I'm sure that was part of it.
Mr. Secretary and Colonel, you've got to follow in his footsteps, but as an emeritus CASA, he's still part of the team, isn't he?
Absolutely. We're proud to work with him and plan to work with him for years to come.
Yes, and I think it's kind of a moment when having two of us here plus General Sieben gives us the ability to be in touch with more of the partners who want to be helpful, want to be part of the process, but you do need to keep those relationships and move them forward. And so I'm in particular working closely with the local brigade. We've made an arrangement for General Nakasone, who is actually a St. Paul native, to come four-star general in January to be part of a recruitment push. He's head of cyber command for the whole nation. And so that's the kind of thing that having more people power at the level of the CASA means that we can be more involving and really touching to the whole community statewide.
And this kind of fits here in Minnesota. The Minnesota National Guard's been fighting above its weight for years. And with a team of the three of you, you ought to be able to take on the rest of those states and show them how to do it. This is Minnesota Military Radio. We're speaking today about the Civilian Aides to the Secretary of the Army program. And our guests are retired Major General Harry Sieben, former Secretary of State Mark Ritchie, and retired Colonel Eric Ellis. Secretary Ritchie, what are your expectations? How much time is this going to take?
Well, I don't know in total, so this is something that will unfold. But here's my expectation. Number one is we have the opportunity to help support through some of the scholarship programs some of our best people who are coming up through the Guard, through the Reserve, and looking at active duty. So it's a people process. The second thing is that being able to partner with Eric, because there's sometimes we have to cover things. And so, you know, we have to, you know, we're busy people with other parts of our lives, but we've been very good at this for a long time. But the final thing is, You know, we're in some anniversaries, the 75th of almost everything related to the Second World War, the 100th for the first, et cetera. We have a Second World War roundtable. We have a Civil War roundtable. We're about to launch a first. We have opportunities to both remind Minnesotans of our heritage, our history, but also to inspire young people and to communicate with parents in particular about the many opportunities in the Guard and the Reserve and active duty. So I feel like those are passions that I bring, that it doesn't matter how early in the morning and you and I get together on some Memorial Days pretty darn early here on the radio, or late at night, because sometimes with parents, you got to see them at night after work and all that. Whatever are the hours it takes to fulfill the job, I feel very confident about our collective ability to deliver.
You know, gentlemen, I'm curious, you know, as this is an unpaid appointment, what's the personal connection or drive that, you know, pushes you to give this level of commitment to something such as a CASA?
I'll start out with that. For me, it's service to others and continuing how I can give back. Just as I served the Army for 28 years, this is a way for me to continue my service and help the Army. Fortunately, now since I've transitioned into the corporate world, it allows me another viewpoint. And my transition from military to corporate life was very painless. It was basically wear a uniform on Friday and put on the suit on Monday. It went that smoothly. But it doesn't happen that way for every service member. So through that lens, I'm able to help and work with veterans and soldiers, whether it be their first term or whether they're retiring after a successful career of 20 or 30 years, help them make that transition to the next phase of life.
Mr. Secretary, I've seen you, I've known you for years, and I've seen you support the military and veterans and our families in Minnesota. You've been a big cheerleader for as long as I've known you. I can only imagine this is a way to continue.
Amen.
And Jason, I want to come back to you on that. One of the reasons you volunteered to be a co-host going forward on the show is so you can stay connected.
Yeah, it's very much the same thing. Is how do you continue to serve? How do you continue to give back? How do you continue to serve the state and nation? And in any way that we can, along with the CASA and every other organization that's out there helping veterans and military service members, we hope to do so.
General Sieben, we've just got about a minute and a half left. I would assume that you've got some advice for these two young CASAs so that you can show them the way.
I'm going to get advice from them and follow their lead. But we have discussed quite a bit what's going on. And Mark is heavily involved in Army recruiting. I'm happy for that. Eric and I, coming from a National Guard background, have not historically been exposed as much to the active duty and the Army Reserve recruiting, but I think that's where we have to, where we should be spending much of our time, trying to be of whatever assistance we can. So I forgot what your question was, Tom, but let me quickly point out that Tom Lyons is a skinny little guy, not little, but a skinny guy from rural Minnesota, who strapped on a .38 pistol and flew all over South Vietnam with a bag of money, delivering payments, proper payments, and without guards, without rifles. Unbelievable during what you did during the Vietnam War, Tom. So thank you for your service.
Thank you, General, and thanks for taking time away from your family to join us on the show today. And for our two new CASAs, Secretary Ritchie and Colonel Alness, we're looking forward to having both of you on the show as we go forward and learning about all the exciting things you're going to do together with General Sieben. So thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, and thank you for your decade of service with this radio show.
Thank you. And Jason, we're going to come back with a couple of legendary members of the Department of Minnesota American Legion as they retire. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In this segment, we're going to salute two long-serving members of the Department of Minnesota American Legion. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now, here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
As we celebrate Native American Indian Heritage Month, I want to take a moment to talk about our Native American veterans here in Minnesota. Native Americans have one of the highest rates of military service per capita of any ethnic group. The Department of Defense's research found that as a high percentage has been in part due to their cultural attributes, strength, honor, devotion, pride, and wisdom. In fact, 25% of the able-bodied adult Native Americans enlist in the armed forces, compared to 3% for the general population. Yet, less than 50% of the eligible Native American veterans apply for benefits they have earned. The Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs Tribal Veterans Service Officer Program operates in partnership with the governmental and tribal agencies, the Governor's Office, the Minnesota State Legislators, and the Minnesota Native Americans Nations. We are grateful to the Native American veterans for their service and sacrifice to this great nation. To get in touch with a Tribal Veteran Service Officer near you, visit MinnesotaVeteran.org.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. So I mentioned earlier, my special guest host today is Jason Burley. And Jason, that first couple of segments was pretty formal, talking about CASAs. But now we got a couple American Legion longstanding guys in the studio. And I know you started out in the Marines, ended up in the Army National Guard.
Right.
Well, we got another Marine in the studio, so things are liable to get...
They could get lively.
Could get crazy.
Yeah.
You want to introduce the Marine?
Well, first of all, I'd just like to say what an honor to spend some time with you two gentlemen. It was a great segment on the first half, but we're going to hear about some great stuff going on in the American Legion, so really appreciate the opportunity to be here with you. Randy Tesdall, a Marine, and served 20 years in the Marine Corps as the current adjutant for the American Legion for the Department of Minnesota. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. Semper Fi. Oorah, Semper Fi.
Semper Gumby. You got to be flexible around
Always
that.
Flexible.
And the second one is Al Zidane, legend from the Department of Minnesota American Legion, publisher of the Legionnaire. And how many interviews have you done of all those veterans that you've published, Al?
Oh, I tried to figure that out the other day, and about 250, I suppose, over the years.
Your service goes back to my time in Vietnam. You were a Blue Water Navy man.
I was. USS Constellation. I was a photographer's mate. We did one cruise, and then I was lucky because my ship went into dry dock. So my second cruise was to Bremerton, Washington.
And you came back and went to the University of Minnesota.
Right, yeah. Got a degree in journalism and went up to Hibbing for 20 years. I was the editor of the Hibbing Daily Tribune, and... then I had my own business for a little while, and then I got hired by the American Legion in Minnesota.
In 1996.
Right.
And you're going to hang it up this year.
Yeah, it's been 23 years, and I'm 104 years old, so it's time to move on.
Well, we can't imagine what the Legionnaire is going to look like without your great writing and those interviews.
You know what? We've hired a great guy, and he's already redesigning everything, so it's going to be great. He's a newspaper man. He was the editor at Albert Lee for 9 years. He's a publisher up at Fergus Falls for a couple of years, so he's got a good background in newspaper.
So are you okay with that? You get these young guys around like Jason, and all of a sudden things have to change.
Well, they should change. That's the way it's supposed to be.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, but you got to keep some things a bit the same.
Well, we hope so. We'll see. I'm still the executive director, so we still have a little authority in here.
You know, I have just sitting here next to these gentlemen, and last night I was at my Legion in Wayzata, and you know, this is kind of reminiscent of you get to spend some time with some, you know, fellow service members, colleagues. What do you think that, you know, we need to do to continue to drive membership to the Legion? How does that, you know, how does that start to show up?
That's an interesting subject, you know, because there's no doubt we have to continue to work on membership. You know, it's our lifeblood. It gives us credibility in everything that we do. It gives us numbers to run good programs and things like that. But the fact is, there were 16 million World War II guys. There were 8 million Vietnam guys. There are 6 million Korean guys. And the World War II and the Korean guys are departing us fast. The World War II guys are basically gone. I'd guess there's less than 1% left right now. So we don't have as big a pool to draw from. And that's maybe that's a good thing. It means we're not at war. So, but we have to keep fighting for it. And we have to, I think, just figure out how to be a a smaller organization and do the wonderful things that we do for our community, like, you know, Boys State, baseball, Legionville, Oratorque, all the programs that we have for youth and all the things we do in our community. We got to get re-involved and, you know, get some of these younger guys involved. And it's a tough chore, but we'll do it.
This is Minnesota Military Radio, and we're visiting with a couple of legends from the American Legion in Minnesota. And Randy, I want to come to you kind of with the same question. 20 years in the Marine Corps, retired as a gunnery sergeant.
Yes, sir.
Gunny, I want to talk to you, and you spent many years in recruiting.
I did.
Follow up on Jason's question. How are we going to recruit some more young people? When I joined the American Legion and the VFW back when I came back from Vietnam, the World War II guys and the Korean guys were saying, where's your buddies? Go get them. Nobody's
right.
joining.
Yep.
But guess what? We did.
You did.
And now
you,
we're the old guys.
That's right. And I think the same is going to happen. Al had mentioned it earlier, change is good. And it is. And we need to let change happen. We need to let the American Legion be what today's veterans need it to be for them. And sometimes that's hard. It's hard to let go sometimes. But it's a good thing. Change is good. So I think they're going to come, and we've already seen it. There's some posts out there that have some very strong young leadership in them, and they're doing great things out there. So we just need to stand back, and just like the World War II guys step back and let you guys come in and with all your crazy, wild ideas.
That was really tough back then, Randy. So Gunny, you're retiring the end of this year, too. How difficult was it for you to step back?
Not that difficult, actually. The doctors had some to do with that. I've carried some service-connected issues during my time, and they recently told me I have Parkinson's. So, you know, what better time to take time for myself? I'm 60 years old. It's time to focus on myself, my family, and step aside and let some younger folks step in and carry the torch from there.
Well, things are going to look different over at the Department of American Legion. Without you there and Randy there, we'll get some new blood coming in.
And we are losing our finance officer for many years, too, Laura Weber. She's retiring in a few months, too. So, yeah, it'll be a big change in the office.
Now, did this have anything to do with the incoming commander? Did he come in and line you guys up and say, you're out of here? I don't think Mark would have done that. Did he?
They've been trying to do that for years. But, yeah.
No, that don't work.
Al, I want to talk to you. All of those articles you've written, you've published, is it three sets of books on that?
Yeah, three books, kind of a trilogy called War Stories. And there's about 100 stories in the three books, you know. And it started out because when I took over the newspaper, I realized nobody was reading it because I used to get it at home and I didn't read it. So I knew I had to do some stuff. So I redesigned it and I did this and I did that. But I started writing these feature stories, and that seemed to be the key to getting people to read the newspaper. And so then we had a whole bunch of these stories after a few years, and they were building the World War II Memorial right outside our Veterans Service Building. And we decided to publish a book and try to raise some money for it, just gathering the stories together. So we raised $70,000, and it was a very good project. And since then, we've had two more books, and they've made money for Legion youth programs.
So. And how did you put that money to use? Was it all Legion youth program?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah, to baseball, Legionville, Boys State, Girls State, and Oratorque also.
As long as you brought up Legionville, I got to come to Randy. You were up there fighting a bog.
I was. That's one of my most memorable experiences I'll leave the organization with. Spent a couple of years almost, 5 acres, and had its own set of pine trees on it. But we got it done. Minnesota DNR and the Lake Association up there on North Long Lake. We were kind of a three-legged stool between the three of us. And ended up
cutting it up and towing it away.
Cut it up into pieces and towed it away.
And lost one season in the process.
That's right. Only lost one season. And we done it at a pretty reasonable price with a lot of volunteer and work and hard effort.
We figured you were on the case that was going to get done one way or another, Randy. Good work. Gentlemen, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we want to talk about the future for Al Zidane and Randy Tesdahl. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been joined today by my special co-host, Jason Burley, who you'll hear from in the future as he works his way into hosting some of the programs. And we've had on a couple of legends from the Minnesota American Legion, Randy Tesdall, the outgoing adjutant, and Al Zidan, who everybody knows from all of the great articles that he's put into the Legionnaire for all these years. And Randy, I want to come to you. He's got my co-host here, who was a Marine. And I understand you had something to do with that.
Well, maybe a little bit. I learned today that Jason was in my office at one time when I was a recruiter. I was the NCOIC of what was called in those days the Crystal Plex. And apparently one of my recruiters there at the Crystal Plex happened to be in the right place at the right time. Jason is what we referred to as a walk-in office traffic, ready to go. He said, take me, I'm ready, I need to go now, and I want to go in the Marine Corps. And Bobby Huffman, I believe Bobby was a staff sergeant at the time, Bobby jumped right on it and took good care of Jason, and we got him shipped off to Marine Corps recruit training. And I understand you had a good time in the Marine Corps and was very successful. And
now, Randy, can you explain? He spent 8 years in the Marine Corps, but he ended up as a major in the Army National Guard, Public Affairs Officer for the division.
That's not uncommon, Tom. You know, I've got a very good friend that I went in with that ended up a Army Fulbright Colonel. So, you know, the Army and other armed forces see potential, and they can see that Marines they're just ready to go.
I think it just took him a while to wake up, Randy, because when I went in, I wanted to sleep in a bed and have hot chow, and the Air Force took care of that. I didn't have to wait 8 years to figure that out.
But, well, yeah, and air conditioning too, I bet.
You bet. And we had people to take our trays in the chow hall. I mean, it was great. It was good service.
What are trays, Jason?
Al, I want to come to you. We got to leave these Marines alone for a minute, or we'll lose control of the show. What's in the future for Al Zidan? You've been writing these articles for so long. You're going to write a couple more new books now, or what are you going to do?
Well, first of all, before I ride off into the sunset here, I do want to say thank you from the Legion and the rest of us for doing this radio show and over the years and giving a voice to veterans into the military in Minnesota, and I just want to compliment you. I don't think you get enough credit for what you've done over the years.
Thanks, Al. It's been an honor to tell the stories, and we're going to keep telling them for as long as we can.
Good. As for me, I've been telling people I'll just wake up January 1st and go, now what? But I do have some projects. I'm going to probably try to do a centennial book for the American Legion. I lived in Hibbing for 20 years. I'd like to do a history of that community. I love to research and write. And so
we've got a job for you up there because we don't have a Hibbing radio station yet. So will you take that on for us?
WMFG, I'll get them on the air for you.
All right, I'm going to hold you to that, Al. So you've got plenty of things that you want to do on your list to do.
Absolutely. Yeah, I don't think I'll be laying on the couch. Well, laying on the couch sounds good too, but we'll see.
Can't do that every day, Al. That wouldn't work very well. Randy, what's in the future for you?
Well, one of the things that I'm quite proud of and people can relate to if they know me is that I wasn't always in the office. In fact, I was very rarely in the office because I love the outdoors. And I found ways during my time as a state adjutant to get engaged with veterans outdoor projects, fishing, hunting. We started the turkey hunt under Scott St. Salver up at Camp Ripley. We brought in trolling from troops and brought in a lot of professional anglers from all over Minnesota. So I'm going to expand on that during my retirement and try and focus on those with disabilities. My wife and I have a pretty large river boat that we enjoy, and it can accommodate two wheelchairs. And I've been a part of trolling for the troops several years with that on the Mississippi. And we can put two wheelchair patients in it, or veterans, and go out and have a good time.
Randy, one of the great things we have here in Minnesota is the Commander's Task Force, and that gives the American Legion the chance to work with the VFW and the DAV, and they all put on these outdoor programs for hunting and fishing and all those things, and we'll look forward to seeing you at all those activities coming forward.
Absolutely, Tom.
And you'll have a little time to pay more attention to your bride.
That's right.
All right. Al, Randy, it's been just a pleasure knowing you guys and having you on the show, and all the work that I've been watching you guys do for decades over there. Thank you very much, just from an old veteran and a member of the American Legion. But before we run out of time, Randy, you brought your replacement with you, and he's not a Marine.
He's not. 20 years Air Force, retired, Mike Maxa. And Mike's been in the seat as the assistant adjutant for a little bit, and he's doing a great job. Mike,
can you tell us a little bit about your Air Force career?
Yes.
It's a lot different than these Marines.
Oh, a lot different. I was 20 years active duty on 78 to 98. I was able to travel all over the world and had my bride with me the whole 20 years, so she got to see most of the world with me. Supported F-4, F-16, F-111, EF-111 aircraft, and just had a great time. Now I'm proud to be a part of the American Legion, and I have big shoes to fill. It's going to be quite the challenge to take this position on.
Well, you got to follow this Marine. He's been on the job for a long time. First thing probably is straighten things out and clean it up a little bit.
Oh, we're doing just a little bit of that. I think I have one more pile to go.
Unfortunately, he knows a lot of things about it. Best of luck to you at the American Legion. We're going to have you on the show in the future, and we can talk a little bit about what that job entails as adjutant over there. Very important. And when you come back, then you can give us a little update on all the new people. Who's going to replace Al? There's several people being replaced now, so we're looking forward to the next generation of American Legion.
Thank you, Tom. Looking forward to it also.
Jason, we're just about out of time. I know you've been watching the clock and learning how this all goes, and I know you've been smiling ever since you had this Marine to talk to over here in the studio.
Yeah, you know, misery loves company, and I'm sorry for all of you.
That's the best he can say, Al. I think we're in trouble, don't you?
Especially you Air Force, too. Oh, my goodness.
Well, Air Force, we'll have fun with American Legion. Gentlemen, thanks for joining us today. A couple of legends, Al Zidane, Randy Tesdall from the Minnesota American Legion Department of Minnesota.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you very much.
Jason, we have a special guest joining us today fresh from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard, Tim Leonard. Tim, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, thank you. It's an honor to be here.
We're surprising you today. We got a Marine in the studio.
Of course.
He's gonna ask you some questions. I hope you got some good answers.
Well, I sure hope so.
Well, let's start out though. We had a special event, a special mission you went on down in Red Wing.
Yeah, down southern Minnesota. We had the repatriation. A Korean vet. They're always awesome because it's the family has been waiting a long time for their soldier to come home, and when they do, it's long waited.
And I'm told that the Red Wing Yellow Ribbon Organization got involved in that and got some students at the high school involved in it, and they had a really good turnout for this young man that left that area a long, long time ago and off to Korea and never came home.
Yes. You know, it's always a special, it's always warming in your heart when you see the families getting back together and they finally get to know what happened to their loved one.
A little closure.
Yes.
And I understand some of his family was still around and very grateful that happened. And I know those are some of your favorite missions.
Well, yeah, I'm glad we get to do them. You know, it's unfortunate that they were missing.
So, Tim, tell us again, who's eligible to become a Patriot Guard rider?
Anyone. It's a 3x5 flag, pole, and a heart that wants to honor our military for what they've given us.
And it's all about honor, dignity
and respect.
Yeah, another great story of the Patriot Guard. For those of us that are not maybe as familiar with the Patriot Guard as the two of you gentlemen from spending this time together, how long has the Patriot Guard been in existence?
Well, nationally, it's been in existence since 2005. Minnesota, it's been in existence since 2006.
And any idea of what kind of membership we have nationwide and in Minnesota?
Well, when I joined in 2006, there was 300 people across Minnesota. There was about 60,000 across the nation. Today in Minnesota, there's about 5,500.
Wow.
And across the nation, there's close to 400,000.
That's amazing. And, you know, when you think of the Patriot Guard, sometimes you think, well, these are the Harley guys that have the you don't have to have a Harley Davidson to be a member of the Patriot Guard, is that?
No, that's a misconception that everybody has. But
cage. I can come in my cage, right?
You can come in your cage. You know, we don't have cars. We all have cages.
Right. There'd be a truck.
Right. And right now, this time of the year, you know, most everybody everybody's coming in cages. There's a few diehards out there, but everybody else comes in their cage.
Sure. You know, when we have this kind of period of people looking for places to serve and give back, the Patriot Guard gives a great opportunity, especially around military funerals and yes. paying respect to our veterans and service members.
Yeah. Well, even though, you know, with funerals and we do deployments, we're there when they deploy, we're there when they get home, which is really awesome. So, you know, it's a good thing to do.
Yeah, well, thank you very much for that. I'll tell you, my ride back across the river, coming back from Wisconsin, back from Iraq, when I saw you guys, was one of the most elating moments of my life. So thank you for everything you guys do.
It's an honor.
And Tim, thanks for joining us again today.
Thank you.
This is Tim Leonhardt from the Minnesota Patriot Guard, right off the flag line. Jason, we just got about 15, 20 seconds left. Are you getting the hang for producing this? And
I have no idea what I'm doing whatsoever. But I appreciate the opportunity. What a great couple of segments, and it's been great to be with you again, Tom.
And we'll look forward to you coming back and joining us for the Chaplain's Christmas Show. Right here on Minnesota Military Radio. We're just about out of time. If you're a Minnesota veteran and like to share your story, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and click on Contact Us to send us a note. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Major General Harry Sieben, former Secretary of State Mark Ritchie, retired Colonel Eric Allness, Al Zidan and Randy Tesdall from the Department of Minnesota American Legion, Tim Leonhardt, Commissioner Larry Herkey of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. Please join us next week as we meet one of our newest Yellow Ribbon companies and hear how the VA is contacting college students. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.